This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for the LGBTI community, taking around the globe one queer story at a time. I'm Ian, and tonight I'm joined remotely by our regular Matt.
Good evening.
And a warm welcome back to Oliver.
Good evening, guys.
Now, around the world, about 500 pride parades and LGBTI festivals have already been cancelled due to the coronavirus pandemic. Tonight, we hear about how our communities around the world are coming together to create a 24-hour global online event, which features celebrities, politicians, Australian royalty, and many grassroots stories from local pride communities.
Now, Robin Kennedy knows pride. She was a part of the first Mardi Gras, our party and protest in Sydney in 1978. She's coordinating the Asia-Pacific component of Global Pride. Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
So I think in a way it is more like going back to the roots, because you have some really small brides participating. I just last night late got something that came through from Mongolia, of all places. And I've received pieces from Bhutan and Cambodia and Vietnam, a whole lot of small countries in the Asia region that we probably don't even think could have a bride, but they do.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
Our guest tonight is Robin Kennedy, who was an original 78er. That's a protester and participant in the Sydney March and riot on that cold night on the 24th of June, 1978. And that became Mardi Gras, Sydney Mardi Gras. Robin is now directing and compiling a six-hour part of the 24-hour Global Pride online event. And that's going to feature Pride content and stories from around the Asia Pacific. I spoke to Robin in Sydney and asked her about the international discussions that led to the Global Pride idea and her excitement and the challenges in making the big idea like this work and become a reality.
It was agreed that we would stage a 24-hour live streaming program called Global Pride, to which prides all around the world would contribute content. So they were asked to put in whatever they wanted, a song, a message from their local pride, footage from their most recent pride parade, a little mini doco about an issue or their organisation, whatever they wanted to. And we've been absolutely overwhelmed by not just the volume, but the quality of what's been submitted. And it's been a really, really hard decision about what to leave out, because we've got way too much content. We're receiving content from prides that you didn't even know existed. So my challenge has been to try and make sure that every country in Asia that submitted content is included. Now, that's not hard if they've only put one piece in, but some of them have put multiple pieces in. And so I've had to be a little bit ruthless and just pick what I think will work, because you need to take into account what's going to sit either side of that piece as well. So you need to have a sort of good flow in terms of the messages and the tone and that sort of thing. So it's been very challenging.
When we first heard about this idea of Global Pride, and I think there's a couple of other initiatives talking about doing things online, and everyone says, well, switch it all to Zoom and we'll do it online. But how do we make Pride come alive for community online? What are some of the things which you think will really bring Pride alive across the Asia Pacific?
Well, there are some challenges. Not everybody has access, of course, to some of the online mediums, such as China, for example, who aren't allowed to have YouTube. Through personal contacts, I've received absolutely fantastic content from China. Really high standard, great variety.
Can you give us a little bit of a teaser as to what some of the things are that might be exciting you, or that you are faced with the decisions of how am I going to fit all this fabulous material in?
I'll give you a few examples. They're quite different. So I received a submission from Tokyo Rainbow Pride, and they submitted a musical piece, which was a DJ mashup type of thing, but it's very Japanese. So it's all fluoro and techno, but it's a mix of a traditional instrument played by a woman in a geisha outfit. And next to her is another woman who's in a very modern outfit playing a synthesizer. And somehow it works. And it works so well that it's going to be included in the opening show, the opening segments for the whole broadcast of Global Pride. And in total contrast, I received a mini doco, it's about 5 minutes long, from Laos. And that's about a trans woman, she aged about 40, born with a congenital deformity. She only has one leg and she lives in a little village in Laos. And she became a beautician through all those challenges. Like, she had to learn how to ride a bike with one leg, put herself through beautician school. Now she runs her own shop and she trains women who are deaf in beautician skills. And she's incredibly positive and she's incredibly proud of being trans, and her family totally support her. It's a really stunning, moving piece about overcoming incredible challenges, particularly in what is still a fairly conservative country in terms of attitudes to LGBT. So this is the kind of contrast that we're receiving. And I love it. I think it's amazing to get this kind of material and to be able to put it together. I think people will be quite amazed and be able to see some of this stuff for the first time.
That was Robin Kennedy, the Asia Pacific director of the Global Pride Online event running over 24 hours that is happening this Saturday, June 27.
Now, it's an ambitious event, don't you think?
It is. It's exciting.
It is very exciting. Let's just sort of go back to what would we be doing in June, or what would our listeners be doing? Some of you might be getting on a plane and going to one of the European Pride, those huge events. Have either of you two, been to Pride events in the past, and what's your experience been like?
Pride events, like in Asia in general, like, it can be quite different because, like, it's not really something that we talk about and we kind of like think that it's part of our identity, because, like, again and again, like I'm from a quite conservative society, and it is still like there's no anti-discrimination legislation in my society, and it's extremely, extremely hard. Like, people can still be fired at work. So for something like Pride, that's extremely visible because we've got media and you've got journalists who go there and take photos, and people are really afraid that, like, they're going to be identified. So what they end up actually doing is that they fly to another country to participate in Pride there. So I'm from Hong Kong originally, and People in the Hong Kong gay community or the Hong Kong queer community as a whole, they don't, like, I don't find so many of them actually attending the Pride in Hong Kong because they're really afraid of being identified. But in turn, they actually fly to Taiwan and join the Pride there. So it's some really interesting observation I have in that. Yeah.
And I think one of the really interesting things about Pride is that they are all different, and that's okay. So if you take, you know, Hong Kong Pride, which is essentially a street march, or quite a long one, I have to say, I've been there myself as well, and then you compare that to, you know, the Sydney Mardi Gras or Amsterdam, where they make use of the canals and run their Pride much more party-oriented than a march for rights. They're all different. There's in Vietnam, they run a tuk-tuk race as part of Pride. It's all different. It's all great. And I just think this global Pride is another extension of that. We've had to be creative in this in these strange times. Why not make it happen?
So Robin talks about having too much content for the 6 hours, having all of these different ideas and having to choose.
That's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem to have. But what sort of content do you think actually we should feature in a global Pride? And is that going to be the same? Or maybe we need to do things a little bit differently?
Well, I think this event is doing exactly that. I mean, I think one of the beautiful things about this is that, I mean, you probably wouldn't get that story of the trans beautician from Laos. So I think it's going to give much deeper insights into the true variety within the LGBTIQ community.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Robin is obviously tremendously excited about mixing it all up, you know, so having your celebrities and having your royalty, we'll talk about that in the next section a bit, we'll hear from what she's got to say and who's going to be there. But I think that you can do, as you were saying, Matt, that you can do it all, but I think we need more than something for one particular demographic of people who would normally go to a Pride event. And it's also about making it equally available to people.
Coming up, we find out which countries in the Asia-Pacific region are getting involved in global Pride, plus what international celebrities to look out for and how to organise your own watch party. This is Worldwide Wave.
This is Autumn Butter from LGBT Centre of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9. And you can interact with us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other ones, at W3Joy or Worldwide Wave. In fact, if you join our page on Facebook, you will get a feed of international LGBTI news stories throughout the week, and you can comment on them like Patrick has. Our story there during the week we're from Poland, we've been following, where the president has called LGBT ideology worse than communism. Patrick cheekily says, wait till he finds out about the gay commies.
Patrick, we would love to hear more from you on the show. I know you've always got good things to say. Patrick used to be on Is Nothing Sacred, which was quite a wonderful show that used to be on at 11 o'clock on a Monday night.
We are talking to Robin Kennedy, Mardi Gras 78er, who is also the director of World Pride, coming to Sydney in 2023. Robin is currently leading the Asia-Pacific segment of the 24-hour online Global Pride event on Saturday, 27th June.
Well, the big prides are essentially putting all of their efforts into Global Pride because they had to cancel their own pride. So they've been directing all of their efforts into Global Pride, so submitting things that would otherwise have been in their pride. So performances, drag, hot celebrities, like some of the prides like New York or LA would normally attract a high profile celebrity and A-lister. Well, those A-listers are now going to be in Global Pride. There'll be a lot of people, high profile people doing performances or messages of support. There are world leaders providing messages of support. The Prime Minister of Iceland, a few of the Scandinavian countries, and of course we have our own Princess Mary. She's on because Copenhagen is hosting World Pride next year, 2021, and she came on board to be their patron. It is primarily grassroots. The content that's being received is being produced by individual prides. There are corporate supporters because this, even though all of the labour is free, it's all being donated by volunteers, there are still costs associated with broadcasting and production. So there are some corporate sponsors, but they will have a subtle presence, not like, say, a parade where you might have corporate floats. So they will get a little bit of a plug, but not a big plug. And I think you'll find when you watch it that it is very grassroots. There are celebrities because obviously they want to get as many people watching as possible, and celebrities will bring people in to watch it. And it will be a challenge to watch it because it's 24 hours of programming. So I think in a way it is more like going back to the roots, because you have some really small brides participating. I just last night late got something that came through from Mongolia, of all places. There's an LGBT centre there in Mongolia. And I've received pieces from Bhutan and Cambodia and Vietnam and a whole lot of small countries in the Asia region that we probably don't even think would have a pride, but they do. Pride actually happens all throughout the whole year. Yes, it's often celebrated around the middle of the year, June, and obviously Sydney's first one was in June. But they actually happen all year round because every country wants to have it in their warmer months. So that depends on what part of the world you live in. And they may be small, just walking, you know, marching down the street, might be their first one. Or some prides have now evolved into week-long festivals in other countries that started as a small march. So it's really an amazing mix, because people, when they think of pride, they often think it's like Mardi Gras, but Mardi Gras is very unique in the world. A lot of people have made content on their mobile phones. I mean, modern mobile phones have terrific cameras in them, so you can make quite high quality mini programs just using your mobile phone, as long as the sound is, as long as you're close enough to the camera. And other submissions have had incredibly high production values. So I received a piece from Hong Kong. There's a bar there called Petticoat Lane, where they have featured drag artists. And this was a fully produced production number with four drag queens, totally made up, gorgeous, multi-camera. It was amazing. So you've got that, and then you've got going down to someone just talking to their mobile phone with waving a rainbow flag. It's going to roll out according to time zones. So it's actually going to start in New Zealand. I think it's about 12. I think it's noon. And then it will move west. So the time zones are 1 hour blocks. So it'll be the parts of the Pacific and New Zealand, and then it'll move across to Australia for the next hour, and then it will move another hour, which will pick up East Asia, Western Australia, and then move to Southeast Asia. So essentially travelling west across the world in 1 hour blocks, doing a full circumnavigation of the world, ending back in New Zealand 24 hours later. It's going to be on YouTube. A lot of people are organising watch parties. So now that we're allowed to have a few more people with us, there's a lot of watch parties being organized all around the world. And there's also going to, at the same time, running social media. So you'll be able to make your contribution to social media as you're watching the YouTube rollout. So if you watch something you particularly like, then you can jump onto social media and add some comments or add a photo of your watch party watching. So there's lots of ways to participate. And I think people will come up with their own really creative ways to participate.
That's Australian Global Pride organiser Robin Kennedy with us on Joy 94.9. I'm going to make the call now. This will be the most inclusive grassroots event, Pride event, that has been seen in the world before, I think. Do you think?
I think it's got the potential. I think, I hope that, you know, everyone that's listening to the show is thinking about, yeah, how am I going to become involved? Maybe it's going to be like the queer Live Aid, where we all get to get involved, go around the globe. Now, of course, some people don't remember what Live Aid was because they weren't born at that point, and that's probably quite a large part of our demographic. But I think when you come together, yeah, work out how to hook it up to your sound system, make a lot of noise. That's certainly what I did when I watched Live Aid in blah, 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 and have a bit of a party. But I also liked this bit of how are we going to party when I don't know which state, you know, our listener might be in today, but in the state of Victoria, I think we've only allowed to have 5 visitors over for our watch party. And that's if we really need to have them over. So I just wonder, how are we going to party?
Well, it's gone, yeah.
It's online. They're encouraging people to interact and message. And I think it's this. The point of this is it's a worldwide party.
Yeah, you can watch online. And I think that, like, what we're so used to it now, seriously, we are actually facing, staring at our monitor anyway. So why not just we use that as, like, our party time as well?
Yeah. So I need advice. Maybe you can put some advice on our social media about, you know, how do you set up a watch party? Because to be honest, it's beyond me. How do I have house party on my phone? And then I have the Global Pride on my computer or on my TV, or I'm not quite sure how it works, but I know that someone will know how it works. And can you just send me a message and tell me how to set it up, please?
The watch party for dummies version, please.
Please.
I did want to touch on one of the things Robin spoke about there, which was corporate sponsorship. It's always a potential sore point for LGBT events where, you know, there's organisations who sponsor but perhaps don't show support through their actions. There's some that perhaps don't deserve to be there. There's others who are there for the right reasons and they're giving their money to genuinely support the community. Should there be corporate sponsors?
Well, I think there will be corporate sponsors, and there's a very, you know, this is expensive to set up. Did anyone watch the global music event that was about 2 months ago? So much has happened, which had all of those artists on, and that was good. There was Gaga and everyone else on there, and there was a lot of promos in that, and that got on my nerves a bit, I have to say. I wasn't quite sure what the purpose was. If we were selling, I don't know that Coca-Cola was in it, but we were selling, you know, a product, or was there something about a message and about solidarity of the world in the time of COVID? What do you think, Oliver, would be... What's an appropriate corporate sponsor in these times? You know, I think people object to some, don't they?
Yeah, of course, because we call it, we actually have an academic term for it. It's called the pink economy. Mm-hmm. So basically means that it kind of corporatizing the entire celebration of queer identity, and then you see them like, or you actually can see like ANZ or Tom Banks, they are on a flight in Sydney Mardi Gras. And I think that like recently, I think more and more queer community group have seen them, and kind of some of them have been calling them out for hijacking their agendas or basically just to kind of really try to steal the spotlight from actually the queer people instead of what the model or the dancer they paid on the float. So I think that like it has to be like there has to be some like corporate responsibility there to actually be transparent and be like in how they support their queer workers and also how they donate, like how much they actually donate to a grassroots queer community as well. So obviously it's okay for them to put a name on like a leaflet or to acknowledge their sponsorship, because that's what sponsorship means, right? But I think it's really also important to for them to be quite transparent on how they treat their queer staff and how they recognize the hard work of grassroots activists.
Yeah, we've spoken, I think it was a couple of years ago now, to someone from the UN who was talking about there's a global movement around involving those international businesses that might be operating in countries which don't have great LGBT rights, and that they are one of potentially the mechanisms forward. So in fact, in some ways, it would be lovely to see some of those brands getting out there and actually promoting the messaging and the support of telling community stories from countries where maybe that they are operating, but maybe they don't have all the rights and privileges, frankly, that we have in Australia and in some of the countries in Asia Pacific, which is what we're talking about, where we maybe take things for granted sometimes a bit.
And nice to see some royal support in there as well. Princess Mary of now of Copenhagen, formerly of Tasmania. We've got lots more coming up about Global Pride on Joy 94.9. In fact, we're going to talk a bit more about what's happening in the Asia Pacific region. This is Worldwide Wave.
Joy.org.au, not just a radio station.
A special hello to all those people listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcasts automatically, either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or iTunes or your favourite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave us a review. It takes seconds and it means a lot to us.
Our guest tonight is Robin Kennedy, who is a 78er, one of the protestants from the 1978 LGBT march in Sydney that becomes a riot and that we now acknowledge annually at the Mardi Gras parade and festival. We asked Robin about what Pride means today for the Asia Pacific region and LGBTI rights and community actions.
I just think it's really important. I mean, back then, things were not as they are now, obviously. The things we take for granted now did not exist. And pride is still what it always was to me, which is identity, visibility, and community. And that still matters everywhere. Even in places where we do take rights for granted, there are still areas of life for us where it's still a challenge to be open and visible or develop community. And in other parts of the world, of course, it's not even possible to have a pride, or your pride is held under very constrained circumstances. I have a good friend in Singapore who was the founder of the Pride there called Pink Dot. And due to, well, it's essentially, the it's all virtually a police state in some ways. You're not allowed to have any kind of public march or assembly in Singapore. The only place you can have any kind of assembly is Speaker's Corner in Hong Lim Park in Singapore. So that's where they have their pride every year. They all gather there, 20,000 people, and watch a concert and have speeches. But it's quite dangerous. Like, not very long ago, someone was arrested for breaking the law in terms of public assembly, and it was actually only one person. So they have to be very careful, but they're very resilient and very courageous, and they keep doing this year after year. And this year, of course, they couldn't hold it. So they've made a beautiful video piece, which will be shown in the time zones that I'm managing, which is their wish to the world for global pride. And because they can't assemble, they're lighting up Singapore in pink. So everyone's going to put pink globes in their apartments and buildings and turn them on. So Singapore will become pink, lit pink. So that's what they're doing. And they've made a great video about that, about lighting up Singapore in pink. So to me, that's the spirit of pride. Like, keep going no matter what, and coming up with alternatives, being resilient and claiming your right to visibility. So I think it's still as relevant today as it was 42 years ago, and that's why I stay involved. I suppose my involvement has shifted more to the international level in recent years because there's still so many challenges there. Some of the content I've received talks about the impact of the virus and how it has stirred up more hatred and discrimination against LGBTI in their communities, and that's just another burden that they're dealing with. In other countries, it's had a real financial impact. So if you look at Indonesia, for example, it's a pretty difficult political environment for LGBT. And many trans people there are unable to get work, what we might call a normal job. So they're really, their only source of income is sex work. And because of COVID, they haven't been able to work. So they've had no income. So they have been relying on local agencies and international aid agencies to generate funds for them to live, because essentially they're just, their income completely dried up. So that is, I do have a little segment I'm including that is presented by a trans person talking about that. And in other cases, the cancelling of Pride because of COVID has maybe the end of that Pride, because they rely on income generated through sales of merchandise, sponsorships, that kind of thing, to keep going year from year. So with the cancellation of Pride, they lose income from parties, concerts, merchandise. So unless they can be supported, they might just fade away. And that's actually one of the objectives of Global Pride, is to raise funds for those kinds of prides. So when you're watching, you'll annoyingly see quite frequently a message saying donate to Global Pride, and the donations are going to be split towards different kinds of programs. So one part of the donations is going to go to prides who are struggling. Another part is going to go to Black Lives Matter campaign, but none of the funds are sort of being held centrally, if you like. The only funds that are being used for production are unavoidable costs. But after that, all money raised will be distributed to people who need it. Look, if everybody gave a few dollars, that would raise an enormous amount of money, because we're expecting perhaps up to 2 billion people to watch it at some point over the 24 hours. That's a lot of money.
I love that phrase that Robin used there. Pride is identity, visibility and community. And what better way to deliver that than with this global online event?
It's an ambitious viewership of 2 billion people. That's what she said. She said 2 billion people may watch this.
Well, that's like Donald Trump saying 1 billion people are going to turn up to his rally. So, yeah.
I think it's fundamentally different from that. But we will see. But what she was saying, though, is also that there was a key part in that, and it comes to what we were talking about before, is that this will raise funds. This will raise funds for those communities, and there will be communities and prides which are going to be negatively impacted by not having a physical event this year. So this is really, I'm interested, what does not having Pride mean for the Asia-Pacific region and for those community organizations? And does it mean that people go off the radar and the LGBTI rights go off the radar and progress that we've seen so far is going to go off the radar in the time of COVID, because frankly, what we've seen, especially in Europe, is it's not been great.
Definitely not. And I think that, like, obviously, Pride is a really big part of the community fundraising for non-government organizations, which a lot of community organizations are, even in Asia Pacific. But I think that, like, more visibility actions were also being done politically. And I think that, like, the government should actually take a leading role in terms of actually properly fund both organizations instead of leaving them off the fence and just try to want them to do community fundraising, because it's not a viable option for many organizations.
And let's not forget here that one of the upsides of running this event online is that there's access for LGBT people in communities where it is illegal, where they have to be secret. Well, this is their big chance to be involved in a global Pride event.
Tonight, thank you for our interview. Thank you to Robin Kennedy, who's the director of the Asia Pacific segment of Global Pride and a director of World Pride 2023 coming to Sydney. Global Pride is on this Saturday, 27th of June. I believe, just checking on the website, that it starts at 3 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And you can find all the details of how to stream and how to set up your watch party on globalpride2020.org.
Also, we have to say thank you to people who have contributed to our sections tonight on Facebook: Tia, Milo, Mark, Liz, June, and a few more who have joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. This is W3Joy on Facebook.
And to our fabulous team who help us out behind the scenes, our podcaster Peter, our social media master Dean, thank you so much.
We'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave, or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.